Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're talking about career today on the show. We welcome your calls on the topic. It's a tough labor market out there. Luckily, Tom Denham and Bob Frederick are here to help you make that transition from one career to the next one, a smooth one. And we'd love to hear from you, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tom Denham, Dr. Tom, or Tommy, or whatever you want to call him, is head of Careers in Transition, LLC, an Albany-based career counseling firm specializing in professional and tailored career development advising and guidance. Also joined today by Bob Frederick, coordinator of career and employment services at Schenectady County Community College. Once again, the number is 800-348-2551. Welcome back, gentlemen. I guess our topic today, building your career brand.
That's right.
And I guess we'll turn your mic on as well.
He's great.
He's on mic.
Is that okay?
Zach is working on his career transition. Okay.
How's that? That's much better. It's good to be back.
It's Tom Denham. It's Bob Frederick. It is building your career brand. What do I need to know about this, gentlemen?
Well, the first thing is that whether you like it or not, Ray, you have a brand.
Yes.
Everyone has a brand.
And it's a bargain brand.
It's a bargain brand. You look out there in the corporate world, you've got Disney, Google, Facebook, Target, BMW. Those are really powerful brands. And you want to create and build and protect your personal and professional brand. And this is one way to create a niche and market yourself better in this competitive job market that we have.
So give me an example of how one would create a niche, a unique brand if you do something, say, that thousands of people do.
Sure. Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to do an assessment. You have to do an assessment, then you explore, and then you implement. So the first thing is you have to figure out who you are. And who you are is based on your VIPs, your values, your interests, your personality traits, and your skills. So your brand is the full expression of you. So you've got to dig deep, ask a lot of questions. I certainly do this in my private practice and with career counseling, and figure out what are the most important values. What do you really stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go about building the brand through what I would call two ways. One is real networking and the other is social networking. And we know today that your online reputation is your reputation. So when I'm working with clients, I'm constantly checking in to see what their LinkedIn page looks like. Many of my clients don't even have a LinkedIn page, and that is really your number one professional branding tool that you have out there. And the nice thing about branding is you can control it. You can shape it. You can mold it, but it is your responsibility.
But is there not a danger in engaging in too much hyperbole with one's brand? In other words, if I were to speak more glowingly of my attributes than perhaps the body of work were to suggest, wouldn't the potential employer say, well, this guy's full of it?
Well, you always have to speak the truth. Well, one of the ways that you can hold yourself accountable is to get references. So, for example, on LinkedIn, you can have people write recommendations for you. Again, you always have to speak the truth. And in this online world, everything is public and nothing is private, and it's always permanent. So I would always take the honest road.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're talking about reputation today, and you're getting to your reputation can be viewed as it your ego?
Yeah.
You know, that's making placing majority on that or not in regards to are you more using integrity to go about your daily habits in life? And again, your reputation is your habits.
Yeah.
What we probably are going to be talking about today is how do you go beyond habits and be more intentional in regards to how you behave and how you communicate and how you interact with people. So it's your attitude plus your aptitude times your networking, which really will lay out your reputation in a broader sense. And that networking part, you know, either if it's online or in person, through writing, through publications, through basic interactions, is going to determine the return on investment. Mm. But if you don't pay attention to where your attitude's at, as well as your skill set, your aptitude,
yeah,
then it's going to either make you or break you.
800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Bob Frederick is here from Schenectady County Community College, and Tom Denham, of Careers in Transition, LLC. It is the Careers Forum, or Career Forum, if you will, 800-348-2551. So if everything is permanent and your social networking is now becoming paramount, then your brand, in essence, requires a real personal discipline in order to make everything that you do fit in to this brand. Where's the time for fun in one's life?
Right. One of the things that I do is every day I get on Facebook and I type in Dr. Tom's quote of the day or Dr. Tom's career trip. And it's always something inspiring. And I put that in
or confusing. As the one I saw yesterday, which we'll talk about later.
All right. So I'm trying to create this image, this brand of being positive, inspiring, and motivating. Mm-hmm. If I do that every day, day after day, that is only going to increase my brand.
Right.
So what our listeners need to know is, what is your brand? Are you happy with your brand? Would you like to have a new brand? What are you doing to promote your brand? So, for example, let's say you're clear about your brand, but are you getting it out there? Are you leveraging it? What you really want to do is create what I call TOMA, which is top of mind awareness. So when you're doing a job search and an opening comes up, you're the very first person that they think of. That's why we want to have this brand. That's your reputation.
And it doesn't mean that you're not having fun, Ray. I mean, when you're having fun, hopefully people are doing things that are inspiring to them, that interest them, that have a passion for that, you know, I'm not sure. It doesn't have to be the drinking and the carousing.
But it can be something
that people are necessarily seeking you out for or looking to pay you money for. And when we talk about, and when companies talk about what an effective brand, it's really to generate revenue. It's generate a memory of quality. It's things like that. So what we're saying today is, how do we intentionally showcase our best with integrity and with value to others?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it has to go beyond yourself. Because if it's all about yourself, then that's where we get into the ego thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Tom mentioned changing, you know, if you're not happy with your brand, changing your brand. But if in fact such importance is placed now on LinkedIn and the social networking online, which, as you correctly say, is permanent, how do you go about changing your brand if everything that you have said and done professionally online is always going to be there?
Well, there's a couple things. One is, what I've done is I have a career counseling brand and I also have a mountaineering brand. So I have this dual brand that I have to manage. I mean, certainly, you know, sometimes it is what it is. You can't change everything out there. But again, it goes back to clarity. What do you really want? Who are you really? Are you doing things, as Bob said, intentionally to build this brand, promote who you are and what you have to offer? And really, branding is, how do people think and feel when they hear about you? When you hear BMW,
yeah,
what do you think?
Expensive.
Expensive. Quality.
Yeah.
Luxury.
Right.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
When they think of Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa is a brand.
Right.
Lindsay Lohan is a brand.
Right.
Dr. King is a brand. Okay. And Tiger Woods is a brand.
Right.
You know, what are the things that you think about? I mean, Tiger Woods is a perfect example. Had a stellar brand. Now you don't want to be associated with that brand.
True enough. 800-348-2551 on the telephone number. Bob Frederick, Tom Denham here. Let's go to the phones. John in Albany. John, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been tuning in a little bit on my lunch break, and it looks like some of your comments about LinkedIn and social networking, your just most recent comments kind of addressed what I was about ready to say, which is two things. One, many people from my generation, I'm almost 50 years old, we are, not as public with our information, and we have a real privacy concern. You know, clearly a lot of, my cohort are starting to come on board with, and I work in the IT business,
mm-hmm.
but I still am not, I'm not putting my whole life on the internet.
Right.
And it seems like the more of us who work out there, we're starting, increasingly I'm hearing people who are just opting out of that. And we realize, of course, the disadvantage. The second comment, and I'll hang up after this.
Okay.
And question is, again, you know, getting back to rebranding, I have to say I've rebranded many times in my life and probably ready to do it again. And I could not imagine doing that online, you know, with a complete web and paper trail of other previous brands. And I've changed a few times in my career and sometimes very dramatically. And I would think that that would be almost impossible to pull off if you were putting every single phase of your various brands out there, you know, in every iteration. So I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Hey, John, thanks a lot. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
I think John has brought up a great point that we all change throughout our lives multiple times. And when we say change, we're changing because we mature. And people expect that. Once you have a little age on your belt, we all know that we've done things both great and you question some other things that you did in life, and you learn from that, and hopefully you constantly learn. And through that, it allows you to make those changes, not only in how you present yourself, but also how the networks that you get involved with. So, you know, we all have blended ourselves with different types of groupings throughout our lives.
Yeah.
And that allows us also to be unique in those environments. And so when people say, well, how can you change if it's online? Well, to be honest with you, so many people only remember so much anyways.
Yeah.
Some will only go back so long in regards to their memories of what they read online, things like that. And so you do have the option and opportunity to rebrand yourself throughout your life and make it real and viable and correct. And as long as you show that investment, they're going to wait for how long have you been invested in this new brand. So if I made some real dumb knucklehead mistakes in life, but in the last 3 years, I've changed my life. I've done different things.
Yeah.
I've invested in it. I've invested in other people. People are going to remember that, and they're going to believe in that new brand. And just like Tiger Woods, he is going through this rebranding of himself, and I bet he's going to be loved again.
Bob Frederick is our guest, also Tom Denham. It's the Career Forum, and we will be back. More calls, 800-348-2551, the telephone number. What's your brand? Let's find out. 800-348-2551. More on the way.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Hudson Valley Footwear, Rhinebeck, New York. Footwear for the family, including Vibram Five Fingers, Sunita Clogs, and Now It's Sandals, HudsonValleyShoes.com. The Unitarian Universalist Congregations of the Capital Region, guided by seven principles, including the inherent worth and dignity of each person. CapitalRegionUU.org for information. East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massages for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com for reservations. Spectrum 8 Theaters, Albany, New York, showing Hollywood, American, independent, and foreign films. Their Ultraviolet Cafe is next door for before or after the show. Open daily, spectrum8.com. And the Storm King School, Cornwall on Hudson, a boarding and day school offering college preparation for students in grades 8 through 12. Open house Saturday, May 19th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon. SKS.org.
One 800-348-2551. What's your brand? Mine is Beefeater at the at the moment. And Tom Denham is here. Careers in transition. Bob Frederick of Schenectady County Community College. It is the Career Forum. We're talking about building your career brand today. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. So, we're talking about branding and online presence. And I had a question about something in the news. I think it was well after your last appearance. There was a question about employers potentially wanting the keys to personal Facebook accounts.
Yes.
And this is not a LinkedIn account. This is not your professional presence.
No.
So where do you guys stand on that?
I got on CBS6, and I flat out said this was completely unethical.
Mm.
And I said that you wouldn't go to the interview and bring your photo albums.
Mm.
I don't think employers who are doing this know what they're doing. Now, for example, if you were interviewing me and you asked me for my Facebook password and I said, oh, I'd be happy to give it to you after you give me yours.
Yeah.
How would you feel?
Yeah. I mean.
Right. So
I would never hire someone who said, OK, here's my password.
It's not appropriate.
I would say that would be the end of the interview. That's a trick question.
I will guarantee that employers are doing Google searches.
Yeah.
And they are looking at your LinkedIn. They are looking at as much Facebook as they can.
Now, I suppose it depends on how aggressive and how extensive an HR department is, because there are employers that it's just Tom hiring one person. You don't have time to do all that back search.
It might not be the HR department. It could be the people that you're going to be working with directly.
Yeah.
They just want to figure out who you are as a person.
And they'll be doing that before and after the hire. So be assured that, especially if you might be getting into some areas after you're employed that you might not be performing as well, maybe there's some other issues come up, people will then relook at your online presence and maybe want to look even deeper because what's going on here, and might give more evidence to maybe say, well, maybe you're not the right fit when we thought you were originally.
And, you know, it's funny, you know, people I think sometimes think they're living in a cocoon. I mean, there was a state trooper who literally had some really on the edge stuff on his Facebook regarding parties and prostitution and everything else. And, you know, eventually the boss is going to find this out.
Right.
Same thing with people that, you know, might do some work at their business, a side business, but they're doing it at their regular business.
Yeah.
Again, that's all online. That's all recorded. And that's evidence of your behavior, where your mind's at, and how ethical and how you approach your decision making. And that's what they're looking for. How are you making key decisions, and what are you promoting that is in line with our culture?
I find it very interesting that this topic of career branding always goes back to Facebook, LinkedIn, and technology. If we were having this conversation 20 years ago, we would be talking a very, very different language. But with the advent of technology and social networking, we can broadcast ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've never had a chance to before. The networks or the stations controlled how we could get our brand out there to a larger audience. Now you can create a brand, it can go viral, and you can be an instant celebrity. But again, you know, just for our callers, I just want to emphasize, you have to decide ahead of time. You have to be deliberate and intentional and decide what is your brand. Most people come to my private practice, they do not know what their brand is. They don't even know that they have a brand, and they're confused. If you have confusion about your brand, then you're going to have confused results. I remember many years ago, Apple had, before Steve Jobs came back, Apple had way too many products. And he came back and he said, "We have way too many products." And so he narrowed things down. And he said, "These are the things that we do, and these are the things that we do well." Apple is not an internet company. They don't do that, and they don't do that well. And that's what you have to decide. What are the things that I do the best? Don't focus on your weaknesses.
What about someone just out of college who doesn't have a brand?
They may have a brand already.
Everyone has a brand.
Yeah, I mean, they may have done internships.
Yeah.
They may have other skills and talents that they do very well. And the other thing I want to say is we are more than our professional brand. I mean, I have a brand. I would like to be called father. You know, I'm a dad. That's part of my brand. I'm a mountain climber. I'm a good friend. Those are my different brands. This doesn't have to be really that hardcore, but in today's competitive market, I guarantee you, if you're not clear about your brand, promoting your brand, building it, and protecting it, I guarantee somebody else is going to do it. And that's why we're on the show today, is to tell people that you've got to do this because your competition is.
Well, let's go back to the phones, and we go to Beverly in Schenectady. Beverly, you're on with Tom Denham and Bob Frederick.
Hi. Thank you very much, gentlemen. This certainly is a pertinent topic. But I have a question regarding one of the other callers' comments, which is my sister is looking for a job now. She was laid off after working about over 30 years in the Silicon Valley industry for the same company that was Tandem, then Compaq, then Hewlett-Packard. So she was laid off after about, 25 years there, came here, worked for 5 years at another local state company. And, she's not online. You know, we have that privacy. And, she has a very excellent resume. She's been contacting many professional job, in consultants. And, she's just not been successful. So what would you recommend? Is there a place in the job market for people like her?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't give up hope. The second thing I would say is she needs to get focused, and she needs to decide the three types of job targets that she wants. And then what she needs to do is double her networking efforts. Most of the time, when I talk to clients, they're spending way too much time on the internet and not enough time in coffee shops buying people cups of coffee and doing informational interviews. I get calls like this all the time. And I ask people, how much networking are you doing? And the response is not very much. And I'll say, what percent of the amount of job search time do you spend networking? 80%? And they're more like, 2%. So that would, and what I would do is try to get a career counselor out there who can be her accountability buddy and work with her. Okay. Yeah.
For most people, a lot of job seekers, they do the same or they do what they did in the past to get the job. And these days in this economy, you have to do different and you have to blend a variety of different approaches to access the opportunities that are out there. And of course, they're not just online, like Tom was saying, it's all over the place and through people primarily. I'd also say don't expect the same. So if you are going out there and saying you expect the same salary expectation, you expect the same level of position, things like that, no, don't even go there anymore, because you have to broaden that. It's not to say don't expect more or don't expect less, but expect different again, that to get yourself back into the workforce, get yourself back into an opportunity that allows growth again.
Beverly, just one last thing. I wrote an article for my blog. You can Google it on the internet. It's called 50 Ways to Stay Motivated. So if you Google 50 ways to stay motivated, you can send that to her, and that'll at least get her going, okay?
Beverly, thanks
a
lot.
Thank you.
I would think unemployment is a good way to stay motivated. I think that would be top of the list, right?
Unemployment doesn't necessarily motivate anybody, but it's at least a little safety net that they can apply for, of course, and to help them through the transition. For most people, it's going through the emotional stress of job loss, and especially for longer and longer it goes, depending on how they are acting on it, it could either get less stress or more stress depending on what else they're doing during that time. And it's again one of the most tragic things that happen in a person's life is losing a job, especially because it's tied to your identity and it goes back to your brand. I've been successful, people trusted me, I had certain value, it's done. And now going out there and constantly being at doors that are being closed in your face from your perspective, and you're taking that personally, saying they don't want me, and it's not what they're saying, it's just that it's not the right opportunity or whatever, but we're taking, and work is personal and emotional, and sometimes people don't think of it that way, but it is.
You know, Tom, you mentioned networking being a primary focus when you're out looking to change careers or, looking for work. So define, and the word is bandied about often, everywhere. Tell me how you define networking.
Just before I do that, I wrote another article. It's called Focus First, Network Second. And that a lot of people are not doing that. They're going out and networking, but they don't know what they're networking for. They don't have a clarity on what the brand is. Okay. So people can Google that, Focus First, Network Second. Networking is building relationships.
All right. How does one do that?
There's a variety of ways you can do that. Anywhere you go, anywhere you are, you can build relationships. My daughter had a soccer game yesterday, so I'm building relationships on the soccer field. I'm not there to hit up people for clients, but if they see me getting out of the car and they see the careers in transition on the side of it, they may ask about that. And they may say, hey, my brother just got laid off. You might be somebody that would be great for him to get advice from. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I never go out and ask for clients. They just come because I have relationships with them.
Yeah, and that's all about the investment you put into them. So it's about giving. And too many people about networking as taking or getting from, and they don't understand that it has to have the investment has to come first. Just like your financial investments, you need to put in first on a regular basis in order to hopefully have that acquire more value over time to get back. And just like I had to blow off Tom later after this radio show.
That's okay. Don't worry.
I've invested enough time with Tom over the years that he says, I'm not going to take it personally.
Okay.
We'll see each other again.
Even though you are a canceller, technically.
That's okay.
Okay. So.
Oh, just one other thing. Givers get.
I love it.
That's the principle.
I love it.
You have to give first.
So this is why you guys often stress volunteering, especially when you're out of work. this is a good thing to do. This
yeah,
is
that's one of my 50 ways to stay motivated is to volunteer, give some of your time. You should be spending at least 40 hours a week on your job search if you're unemployed full time. But you could spend 5 hours a week volunteering. That's going to build a support network. It's going to build a professional network. You're going to give back. You're going to get out of the house, and your self-esteem is going to go up. Everybody wins.
I like it. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Sally, you're on with Tom Denham and Bob Frederick.
Hi. I'm glad you're running this show. I just finished a very long job search and am now transitioning from a career in teaching and marketing into a career in selling life insurance. And I wanted some help in how to change my LinkedIn profile and make it not such a big leap for the people who follow me and my colleagues.
Okay. A couple things. I wrote an article called LinkedIn Basics for Job Searching. You can Google that. It'll tell you what to do. So if I forget something today, you know, you could Google it. LinkedIn Basics for Job Searching. One is you need to minimize the teaching and emphasize the life insurance. So there is a summary section on there.
Okay.
And there's like a underneath, you can like almost like a write a paragraph of who you are, what you do, who you do it for. Certainly, you want to put your licenses on there. Get recommendations from clients that you have now. Make sure you have a Facebook page for your business.
Okay.
And there are other social networking sites. And I just want to let people know that you can call me after the show and I can give you some quick tips that would be that'll get you going, okay?
Yeah, and it's very understandable going into – there's just a ton of educators that go into insurance or other avenues of insurance. And why not? Because you're hopefully a great communicator, taking what is many times difficult information and put it in layman's terms so people can understand various types of insurance and its value. Also, teachers many times have great networks, you know, especially the amount of time you've been in the field, how much you've been involved in your community, the parents, you know, other involvement. So actually the insurance companies like that because you hopefully will bring in a network already supplied. So what I would do is, you know, showcase your ability to communicate. What Tom was saying, your new aptitude in regards to your understanding of your particular niche of insurance. And then hopefully you're going to use that online portfolio through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, if you want, other special interest groups to showcase this new line, this new expertise, and you utilize your network you built.
Tom?
Sally, I just want to let you know, another article I wrote is called How to Build Your Brand. I want you to Google that. You have to have a balance between the real networking and the social networking. And Bob makes an excellent point about your career, your online career portfolio. Your online reputation is your reputation. So you want to have that balance between meeting people in person, but also broadcasting your reputation through social media, most importantly, LinkedIn.
Okay. Sally, thanks a lot for the call. We go over to Nita in Hudson. You're on.
Hi. I haven't been able to catch much of the show because I've been running about, but my big problem is I don't know what I should be doing. I graduated from college 4 years ago at the age of 32. I haven't found full-time employment. I don't know what I'm qualified for. I have an English major and a psychology minor. I decided I didn't want to teach, so I haven't pursued a master's or a PhD. I'm really just lost because I feel like having an English degree means I can say, would you like fries with that politely?
Right. Couple of things.
I could probably say it in Latin if I tried hard enough.
Okay. Nita, just a couple things. One is there's three steps to the career development process. There's self-assessment, career exploration, and then action plan. So you're trying to do the action plan first, and that comes third. There's one question that goes with each stage. The assessment question is, who am I? The second career exploration question is, where am I going? And then the last question is, how do I get there? We have to help you find out where you're going. And one of the things I might do is I might go to the internet and type in, what can I do with a major in English? Type in that exact phrase. That will pop up a whole bunch of job titles. Of all the job titles that come up there, pick out your top 3 to 5. Also, you can do the same thing for psychology. What can I do with a major in psychology? There was a reason why you picked those things. You had an interest in those. So come up with your top 3 to 5 job listings. Start to explore your options and then double your networking efforts. Spend less time on the internet looking for the job, more time telling people the types of jobs you're looking for.
Yeah, you can try. My first question, and I don't want you to answer it now necessarily, but is what are your top talents? And if you can't say that fairly quickly, I would be sitting down with other people that either know you well or a career counselor or coach. I would maybe do a 360 with some people that either know you in previous situations to kind of get a feedback from others to say, what do you think my talents are? Ask other people, and that might reflect certain themes that all of a sudden come back. And they'll talk about, oh, you're good at this, or you have this wonderful this personality type, whatever. And then you have to think about, okay, from either those hardcore skill sets that you've been trained to repeat in a great way, as well as your personality type, is what type of environment or people do you want to be around, and how do you want to invest that talent? And that should start to gather some themes of opportunities and places of employment that you're then proactively going to go after and try to meet people in there, do your networking, have your cups of coffee like Tom would always encourage you to do, get in special interest groups and move that towards that. One online resource you might want to play with is Onet. Just Google it. You can put in
what is it?
Onet. So
Onet. Okay.
It's again through the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it just allows you to check off different categories of skills, attitudes, interests, things like that. That then gets into career clusters based on that. But that's just one area.
I just want to say one other thing, Nita, and that is you have to prioritize the jobs you're going to target. The first priority are the ideal jobs. Those are the jobs you really, really, really want. The second type are the backup jobs, or what I would call the good enough jobs. And then the third type of job is the safety or survival job. So if you can't get the ideal in 2012, that's fine. But you should develop a strategy that's going to get you there in the next 3 to 5 or even 10 years.
Okay, Nita, we have to take a break, but thank you very much for the call and good luck. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Tom Denham is here and Bob Frederick. It is the Career Forum. We hit the home stretch, another 20 minutes or so to go, and it's coming up next.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more. ParadiseCopies.com. The Blue Bonnet Diner, Northampton, Massachusetts, since 1950, offering breakfast, lunch, and dinner, banquet facilities seating 150, banquet menus, bar services, and dance floor. BlueBonnetDiner.net. Fleet Feet Sports, Colony, New York, locally owned retail shop providing footwear and apparel for runners, walkers, and triathletes in and around the capital region. FleetFeetAlbany.com. Fidelity Investments, Albany Investor Center, located at 59 Wolf Road, 1-800-FIDELITY or fidelity.com for more information. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC. And MPAC, presenting a contemporary classical concert by German ensemble Musikfabrik that features 20th century pieces and new compositions from the 12th year in the 21st century. May 13th at 6 p.m., mpac.rpi.edu.
1-800-348-2551, Vox Pop, the Career Forum, Dr. Tom Denham and Bob Frederick here. And, you know, you guys are talking so much about the focusing of the process. And first is knowing yourself, essentially. You know, that is a lifelong process. Some people go through their entire lifetimes without knowing themselves.
That's because they don't know how to do it.
Well, how do you do it?
Well, there's 3 ways.
Okay.
1 is career counseling. 2 is taking career tests. And 3 is what I do is I give a questionnaire. And a lot of the questions that we've been asking today would be on that questionnaire. Hmm. So one question would be, Ray, if you only had 10 years left to live,
yes,
what would you do professionally? So that's a hard question.
Yes.
I don't expect an answer
astronaut
on the air that's going to go.
I mean, that's my aptitude.
Okay, so I'm not going to expect an answer that's going to go through 7 states.
Fair
right
enough.
Now.
Fair enough.
But when you go through this process, and it is a process, you come out the other end and you have more clarity. You have to, okay, here's a homework assignment for you and for the
yeah.
I want you to write down your top 5 values, top 5 interests, top 5 personality traits, and top 5 skills. Okay, I call them VIPs, VIPs.
This is good.
Values, interests, personality traits, and skills. And then you look at that and say, what did I learn from this? Hmm. How does this match the world of work?
Interesting.
And then you send me a check.
Oh, hey now, let's go to Matt in Middletown. Matt, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on like tech gadgets on your resume. This is one that I saw where this guy filled out his resume. You turn it over, and instead of his mouth, there's a picture of a QR code. And if you snap the QR code with your smartphone, his mouth comes up on YouTube, and you lay the phone down, and he completes his face, and he talks to you. Is that something like gimmicky, or do you think that would turn people off or make them remember you?
Wow, I hadn't heard that, but that is not out of the question now. People do put their LinkedIn profiles. I haven't heard of a QR code, but it would have to go to either a website or a YouTube video that was very professionally done. You know, the mere fact that you call them gimmicks, I would tend to say no.
Well, I'd also say it depends on the type of position you're applying for. So if you're going into a graphic design or an IT type of related online content person or somebody that's, needs to have an understanding of unique technologies or approaches, that might be perfect, you know, to grab their attention because it shows added value of what your abilities are to generate. Like if you're going in sales and marketing and you had some IT background or other ideas of drawing attention, you know, I think that's great.
So it might not be necessary for the Chuck E. Cheese position.
Yeah, if you're going to a position and, you know, and then for a lot of other positions, it probably might get attention and laughed at. But if your content still in your resume did not match what they were looking for, they're just going to get a laugh from you.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
I think that's great, actually.
All right, well, thanks a lot. You got a lot of background noise there. And let's go to Ann in Niskayuna. Ann, you're on.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm actually calling because recently I left my job. I'm going to be pursuing a profession in a totally different career. I'm going to school for nutrition. I have about 2.5 years to finish at a full-time level. And that profession is very credential-based. And so I was listening to you discuss LinkedIn and other sites like that, and I'm thinking, how do I start doing that before I have, you know, before I've taken the examination and I'm licensed and have those credentials?
Ann, I am so glad you called right now. Because you have that 2+ years to rebrand yourself starting right now. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Really. What would be a sin is if you called us 1 week before you graduated and said, oh, I think I need to brand myself. No. So what I would do is, who are the best practices out there? Who are the models? Who are people who are nutritionists that already have a brand in the community? And how can you make your brand look at least that good or even better? And if they have a brand in the community, what's one way, or maybe two ways, that you could distinguish yourself a little differently? Maybe there's a little different angle or practice that you specialize in, like maybe sports nutrition and everyone else is general nutrition. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, what I would start with is find out the professional associations in your field of nutrition. There's going to be many of them. But what I'd also say is find ones that have local chapters, and in your case, if it's the capital region, where are they? And that could be, you start with the professional associations. It could be a international, national, or regional. Find out, and a lot of times, because you're still in school, right?
Right, I have 2.5 years to go.
Perfect. So you can get in now as a college student, and the membership rate is tiny compared to what the professionals pay. So you can get in there maybe for $30, $40, $50 compared to hundreds of dollars. And now you can start networking, serving on committees, going to their local meetings, going to their national conference, serving as a person that works on the national or the local conference. Start doing that. I'd also start volunteering related to local groups that specialize in some type of nutrition programs or things like that. And that could be anything from a Weight Watchers to a school programs to working in hospitals to whatever it might be. And then what I would do is also do independent research. Don't wait for a classroom to teach you what you want to learn. And just like Tom said, the specialty areas, try to find a niche and then go deep into that. Read a lot of books. And then when you're creating your LinkedIn profile, now you can start putting out those books or that research that you're investing in and lay it out. So now you are the professional even before you get the credentials.
Okay. Yeah.
Just quick, okay. And you're trying to become an SME. You're a subject matter expert.
Okay.
You have to balance the real networking with the social networking. And the most important thing I would say is have a blast. Have fun rebranding yourself. This is a very exciting time for you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Ray, you can have some fun.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Listen, you know, people say, what do you do? I don't work. I'm in radio.
That's right.
And I'm having fun all the time, even when Tom's here. Vanessa in Albany. Vanessa, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling. My field is HR. I've been in human resources about 10 years. I absolutely love it. I enjoy developing people and being a part of their professional growth, but I also enjoy giving back to the organization and serving their mission. I was with IBM for many years and was laid off in 2008. My position, my division was transferred to India. I spent about 6 months during that layoff period. I was the last to go, and I was training my counterpart and also closing down our office. It took a huge impact on me, emotionally, financially, spiritually, because I felt as if I had always been a part of the strategic decisions, and and here I was the strategic decision. So it was difficult. I took about a year and a half. It took me quite some time to figure out what I was going to do. I have since come to the realization I love human resources, but I need to be a little bit more strategic about it because the field is going in that direction.
Vanessa, what is your goal?
Well, I've just gone back to school. I'm finishing up my bachelor's now, and I'll be attending school in the fall to obtain my master's. My goal is to get into labor relations and policy development. That's what my master's will be in. I am applying for a fellowship for the fall. There's a fellowship with New York State through the governor's administration.
So
and
what is
professional
your
development?
Let me help me understand what your question is for us.
My question is, I've never had an actual internship or fellowship. I've had many years in HR, but I'm just breaking into labor relations. And how do I approach a fellowship? What is the best way? How am I able to be strategic about that?
Have you identified the fellowships that you're going to apply for?
I have. It is a position. It's a rotation with New York State.
Is your concern that you don't have enough experience to land these fellowships?
I think it's the confidence. When you go through something so emotional, to be at the helm of an organization and make hiring decisions, to being on the outside of it, hoping to get back in, it's very difficult.
Well, that's your
very
confidence.
Emotional.
Is that focus on your strengths, focus on what you can do, focus on abundance, and focus on the ideal. If you've been through a layoff or a downsize the way you have, how hard could this possibly be?
Yeah.
That's what you need to think about. The other thing you need to think about is you already have the fellowship in hand. Visualize that you already have it, not that you're going to blow it and you're not going to get it.
Okay.
Visualize total success.
Vanessa, thank you very much. We go to Carrie in Albany. Carrie, you're on.
Hi, yes. I love the show, and I've listened a lot, and I've taken a lot of your advice already, but I've been a stay-at-home mom for 6 years. I'm just starting to go back for my master's in teaching. My problem, I guess, with focus and branding is really my question. I've been kind of all over the place as far as my resume goes. I've done a little bit of everything, part-time here, seasonal there, temp work here, and just to, you know, pay the bills, but it doesn't necessarily add up to a pretty resume at this point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it may be somewhat related to my field, but not necessarily. And even I was filling out a questionnaire at a temp agency of late, and I was kind of impressed with how much I was checking off. Yes, I know Lotus Notes and Outlook and Microsoft Word, and I've done encoding and data entry and sales. But then it's like, is it scattered or is it well-rounded, you know?
Right. So most people that are either re-careering, have been out of the workforce for a while, but have done a lot of other things while they've been out of the workforce, or career or changing completely different fields. A lot of times they'll go to a functional format in regards to their resume or their branding, in fact. So rather than just saying I'm a whatever in regards to employment, you are saying I have these skill sets that apply in a variety of different situations. And so what I would do is I'd go back and look at your previous employment opportunities, if it was volunteer, serving on committees, doing all these things that you might have been doing over the last 10, 15 or more years. And what you'll do, especially if you sit down with somebody, is what are some of the themes that flow through those? Is it been the use of computer skills? Is it the use of communication skills, organizational skills, management skills, whatever it might be? And that would typically allow you to showcase your top talents. And then you can apply those talents and reorder those talents based on the type of the next opportunity that you're looking for, based on what they're asking for, you know, either the employer or the next opportunity. So I would use and then also in LinkedIn, again, rather than trying to focus a lot about the previous jobs, it's you might want to focus on your talents that you have in LinkedIn or other online tools to showcase those abilities, those interests, those values that you bring to the table. And I think that would allow you a little bit more flexibility to move in the direction you want to go.
Carrie, I think you need to have your resume professionally critiqued and reviewed. I would also double your networking, start building your brand now through LinkedIn and through the contacts and connections you make wherever you go. And the last thing is I would absolutely positively come up with a backup plan in case teaching doesn't work.
Well, it was sort of a backup plan within the plan. I am getting double certified, so I'll have two areas of certification.
Okay.
I'm hoping that.
Well, don't hope for it. Do it.
I would, and
if not two, three, because you need the flexibility in teaching today.
Yeah. Carrie, thanks a lot. We're going to move it along here, and let's go to Margaret in Red Hook. Margaret, you're on with Tom Denham and Bob Frederick.
Hi. Thank you all very much. It's been fascinating to listen.
Thank you.
I'm just turned 62.
Yeah, you're just getting started, Margaret.
Excuse me?
I'm just getting started.
That's great.
Yeah.
I founded my own business in 82 and closed it in 05. We had a domestic manufacturing company in the gift industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none, really. And I don't know how much my age is really impinging.
Don't worry about the age. Only worry about the things you can control. You can't control your age.
Right.
I mean, you can control how you look, but you know, if you work out, diet, exercise, sleep,
right,
that kind
I
of thing,
all
to a
that.
Certain extent. But you know, I'm looking at our little post-it note that says, "How do I make a career change?" I wouldn't worry about how to make the career change. I would want to know what the career change is. Figure out the what first, and then develop a how to it. And that's what Bob and I do. We help people find out what they want to do. And at your stage, you don't have enough time. You don't have time to get this wrong.
No, I know
you,
that.
You have to be absolutely hyper focused right now.
I mean, I've applied for lots of local jobs just to keep myself busy right now. And I don't know if it's, you know, I guess I am stuck on this age thing.
Well,
I don't get hired for any of that.
The other thing is you should not be doing anything that's not fun. If it's not fun, you should not do it. At your stage in your career, it has to be fun, passionate, exciting, and you have to have a strategy.
Have you tried radio?
I love the idea.
Well, and the fun, I think, and it can go a couple of ways. Fun could be do something fun outside of your job in certain cases, so you're making sure that you're living a life that you want to live, and where work can be supplemental to that. So you're bringing in income that allow you to have joy. So, you know, again, it could be a job, a career, or a calling. Which do you want? Is it a job?
Yeah.
Is it realigning your career? Or do you have this calling that you've always had that you weren't able to connect with until now is a time that maybe you go for it? And I think you need to kind of work that out to make sure that you're in line with how you're communicating to the employers you're reaching out to make sure that they can see that you're really into this, whatever you're looking to do.
All right. Margaret, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen, we have 60 seconds. Do we take one more call or do we want to wrap it up here?
One more?
All right, let's go. And Mike, you have about 20 seconds to ask your question. I'm sorry.
All right. I was lucky enough to get a job as an educator in a good local district. I've been teaching for 7 years. I'm contemplating going back to school to be a school administrator. The pros, I would double my salary, allow my wife to be a stay-at-home mom. I could search for a job while I'm still teaching. On the negative side, once I leave teaching to become an administrator, I lose my seniority and my tenure. Budget cuts could eliminate my position.
All right.
Salary would double.
What's the question?
Is it worth the risk?
Only you can decide. You have to think about where your long-term future is. Do you, 10, 15 years from now, really, where do you want to be? And I know we're leaving some callers off the phone, and they can off the line, and we
absolutely
can call us
Mike,
afterwards.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Guys, let's get your contact information very quickly.
Sure. Dr. Tom Denham, careersintransitionllc.com, 518-366-8451, 366-8451.
At the college, 381-1368.
And that's Schenectady County Community College. Bob Frederick, Tom Denham, thank you. Gentlemen,
thanks,
it was a great, fast-paced show, and thanks to everybody who called in. Call earlier next time because, we had a slow going in the first 15 minutes, and now we have, stacked lines. So call early. The underwriting support comes from the Rhinebeck Artist Shops, providing professional picture framing and art supplies in Rhinebeck and at their new expanded store at 188 Main Street at Mannheim and New Paltz, rhinebeckart.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. And the Legislative Gazette, daily reports from newspapers from around New York State at legislativegazette.com, the weekly newspaper of New York State government. That's it. Thanks to Christy Carton, who answered the calls, Zach Malloy, who did the controls, Patrick Donges, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Moyers & Company. We will see you on Monday.